And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to show number 117. This is the Sports Kings from Queens. It's the Big Ten College Football Preview. We are Darren, Kevin, and Gino. Listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a share. Send our post to all your friends. We're going to talk about the Big Ten today. Darren, why don't you start us off on the Big Ten? Talk to us. What's going on?
Well, it's exciting because it really should be the Big 18. This is the biggest conference we've ever seen. And now, you know, we're going to get to see matchups like Rutgers-UCLA, those little backyard brawls that are 2,700 miles apart. But yes, so we have the addition now in this league of UCLA and USC, as well as Washington and Oregon. So the West Coast and the Pacific Northwest join the regulars of the Big Ten, which recently, not that long ago, added schools like Maryland and Rutgers as well. So they go coast to coast now. Listen, SEC had been dominating the sport, but last year we had a new chance national championship winner, and it was out of the Big Ten, and it was Michigan. So, gee, why don't you tell us a little bit about the defending champs? Why don't we see what's going on with the wonderful world of Michigan Wolverine football?
So Michigan they are the reigning champs. They were 15-0 last year. Little Cinderella season. Harbaugh was the coach, Jim Harbaugh. And he left for the NFL. He's going to coach the LA Chargers now. Taking over is Sherrone Moore. He was 4-0 as interim coach last year when Harbaugh was suspended. This team had some player losses. They lost players to the NFL draft, 13 of them, in fact, including big-time offensive guys like J.J. McCarthy and Blake Corum. They lost 18 players in transfer protocol, including big-time safety Keon Saab. So they're trying to replenish. They brought in safety Jashawn Barham off the transfer protocol. They had 26 good recruits. No five-star, but some good recruits. They have Tyler Morris, the wide receiver. That was the guy who had the touchdown in the Rose Bowl last year. He's coming in. He's going to be trying to catch some passes this year from Alex. Darren, give me a hand. Give me a help here. Orgy.
Yeah, Orgy. Close enough. Orgy.
All right. And Donovan Edwards set to take over at running back. So we'll see how this new offense, I think that's going to be the key for them, is how this offense takes over now with the loss of some of these guys that went to the NFL. Should be a good team. They are ranked fairly decent. They have a chance, you know, to be in the conversation when we get to the end of this. The over-under for wins is 9.5. So, you know, looks like Vegas thinks they have a shot at some big wins. They got some big games. Texas, September 7th is a big game. And then, of course, Oregon on November 2nd. But that's Michigan right there in a little nutshell. Kev, who you got?
To me, this is Oregon's. Not Oregon. We keep saying Oregon. Ohio State. To me, this is Ohio State's year. Last year was very disappointing. You know, you go 11-2 and call it very disappointing. It was to them. They were 11-0. They lost in the Big House to Michigan, 30-24. And then they had all the transfers and opt-outs and everything else. They had nobody playing, and they lost to Missouri in the Cotton Bowl 14-3. Ryan Day, this is his sixth year. He's 56-8. So typically they go 11-2, 12-1. The only blemish on his record of the eight losses, the last three in a row to Michigan. You can't be doing that if you're coaching Ohio State. Comparing last year's team to this year's, you know, they add 4 5-star recruits and 14 4-stars, so the rich just keep getting richer. You know, they lost a bunch in the transfer portal, you know, 25 out, 7 in, but, you know, they replenish. And really, when you take a look at what's returning, they've got a lot of talent still returning. On defense, 10 of their top 14 as far as playing time return from last year. They've got ends in guys like JT Teobulau and Jack Sawyer. Their tackle, Tyleek Williams. They return 4 of their 5-stars in the secondary, including Denzel Burke, who should go high next year in the draft. The big changes are on offense. You know, out is Kyle McCord, who transferred to Syracuse. In from Kansas State is Will Howard. So I think that's at least, at worst, keeping level at quarterback. I think it's probably an upgrade going to Will Howard over Colin McCord. Running backs, they're returning Travion Henderson. They add Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss, who, if you saw Ole Miss last year, this guy is dynamic. Wide receiver, big losses in Marvin Harrison Jr., but they returned Amika Egbuka, who's going to be a first-round pick next year as well. The youngsters last year, Tate Ninnis had some good playing time. They contributed last year. I think they're going to fill the void. Jeremiah Smith has looked good in the spring game. Their offensive line returns four of the five starters, and they add the center from Alabama, Seth McLaughlin. And maybe the biggest thing on offense, they have a new offensive coordinator, some guy named Chip Kelly. And if we remember from his days in Oregon, the guy's an offensive genius. I think he overall is a head coach, a little bit to be desired, I think, at times, but no better offensive mind or very few offensive minds better than Chip Kelly. He's going to be a difference maker. This team is poised to win the challenge to win the national championship this year. For them, I think it's going to come down to they've got two away games this year that are real hard. They go at Oregon on October 12th, at Penn State on this November 2nd, and they get Michigan at home this year at the end of November. If they split those two road games and win Michigan, I think they win the rest of their games. That gives them one loss. That puts them in the Big Ten championship game, and they've got a great chance to win the championship game there. Getting the one seed, one or two seed probably in the college football playoff, which gives them the first round bye, and gives them a path to make the college football championship game.
They are the second favorite on the board for the national championship at 38-1 right now.
They are good.
But Darren, you've got the team that you're looking at.
You know, Penn State, you know, Joe Pa's home, Happy Valley, whatever you want to call it. Penn State's always had this problem, right? It's called Ohio State and Michigan. They've lost 7 in a row and 11 of 12 to Ohio State. Michigan's beaten them up the last three times. But the best thing that happened this year, and I was going to touch on it in the beginning, but I saved it for where I was originally going to talk about it, is that there's no more divisions anymore. So they don't have to play Michigan and Ohio State every year. That was 18 teams in a free-for-all. So therefore, you know, you have your natural rival that you're going to play every year, basically, and that's about it. Every other game is a toss-up. This team has been good enough. They would have been in the playoffs 6 of the last 8 years had it been 12 teams deep. They just struggled beating the two big dogs. And James Franklin has done a really good job. He did a great job at Vanderbilt. Now it's time for him to get this team into the playoff. Anything less than a playoff for this team would be a disappointment. Offensively, this team has one major problem. They don't throw the ball downfield very well at all. They run it well, but they really struggle in the passing game. They add the new offensive coordinator, Andy Kolnicki, who was at Kansas. You don't think of Kansas as a juggernaut, but if you've watched them play the last 2 years, their offense has been dynamic. And he's coming in to try to help make that Penn State offense better. Drew Aller is back. He got a lot of criticism last year. He wasn't as accurate as he'd like, but he only threw two interceptions, so he's not turning the ball over. Just has to be a little bit more accurate. At wide receiver, they lose their top weapon in Keandre Lambert-Smith to Auburn, but they get Justin Fleming from Ohio State to come on in. So that will be almost a wash. I think that Lambert-Smith's a little bit better, but it's close. And they also return basically a borderline All-American tight end in Tyler Warren, who had 7 touchdowns last year. He's going to be great. The O-line loses 4 starters, which always hurts. But they bring in Nolan Rucci from Wisconsin, and they return Sal Wormley at guard, who was the stalwart up there. A few other transfers and a couple of younger guys moving up to upperclassmen should really help. The running backs at Penn State, never in the pros really, but at college are always excellent, okay? And Nicholas Singleton and Katron Allen should be fantastic. They just need the passing offense to do enough to take 8 and 9 men out of the box so they can do something. That's all that they're going to need because these guys are explosive, all right? Defensively, they were great last year. They were number 2 in the country in total D, number 1 in turnovers, and number 1 in sacks. Now they add new defensive coordinator Tom Allen, and he should be able to keep this going. They lose a couple of their best pass rushers, but they have depth. And Abdul Carter, who's probably their best defensive player, moves up from linebacker to edge. Amazing talent. Their defensive tackles are big, and they're back. Durant and Ellis will control the run game for them. Kobe King returns, a middle linebacker. And the secondary is always excellent at Penn State. They lost 2 cornerbacks, but they've got 2 big-time transfers in A.J. Harris from Georgia and Jalen Kimber from Florida. And they returned two excellent safeties in Winston and Reed. So this team is stacked on the defensive side. The schedule maker has them skipping Michigan, Michigan State, and Oregon. Okay, they don't play any of those teams. And they get Ohio State and Washington at home. The biggest road test for this team is at USC and at Wisconsin. So the schedule maker says, Penn State, we want you to be decent this year. Last time they changed both coordinators in the same year was 2016. And what did Penn State do? They won the Big Ten. Penn State also has the third best recruiting class in the conference. They didn't do a ton in the transfer portal, but they got enough to help themselves out. This team is either playoff or bust. I don't think they're as good as Ohio State or Oregon, but I think this is a playoff team. I think they might be better than Michigan, and that's where I see Penn State kind of fitting in. Gee, there's another team that you've been looking at. Why don't you tell us about
it? Oh, it's Oregon, baby. It's the Ducks. This team coming off a 12-2 season last year. They were ranked sixth in the nation. Second in the Pac-12, they won the Fiesta Bowl in a blowout. Coach Dan Lanning going into his third year now. They're the third favorite on the board for the national title here at 75-1. They lost eight players to the NFL draft. The big one is Bo Nix. But to replace the quarterback, they bring in Dillon Gabriel, quarterback from Oklahoma. And this guy is right now the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman. So they brought in a lot of talent. They did lose running back Dante Dowdle to Nebraska. That's going to be a hit for this offense. But they think that they can recover from it. They had a great recruiting class. They brought in 27 recruits. They brought in 14 guys on the transfer protocol, a five-star and 6 4-star guys. So they've reloaded. Big guy in the transfer protocol they brought in was Jabbar Muhammad, cornerback. They think he's going to be excellent in this defense. They're returning the big linebacker, sophomore linebacker, Darren, help me, Mateo Ugalele.
It's close enough.
Okay.
It's close enough.
Oregon is set to really make a big impact in their first year here in the Big Ten. We're going to see how far they can go with this schedule, and I think the schedule is the issue. They are going to get Ohio State on October 12th. Big game. Obviously, Kev talked about it before on the Ohio State side, but that's a big game. And then they're going to get Michigan November 2nd. Those are the two big ones. Those are the three teams we think probably going to be in the big time running for any kind of national title shot. Kev, talk to me about your next team, buddy.
Yeah, I think, you know, you get beyond the top four, then it becomes a little bit of a muddle there in the Big 18, as I think Darren so aptly called it now. You look at somebody like the Iowa Hawkeyes, you know, last year, 10-4, you know, 14 games, 216 points for, 207 points against. You remember last year, especially the second half of the year, they could not get the under low enough. And they kept going under. I mean, we had unders, what, 24, 23, 22 points.
That was crazy.
And I think 22 was our low point.
And they kept going under. 10-4 last year is very good. You look at their three of their four losses. The problem is that they lost to Michigan 26-0. They lost to Tennessee in the bowl game 35-0. They lost to Penn State early in the year 31-0. They were not able to play with the big boys. And that's what separated them from the top tier of the Big Ten. This year, the defense, they return 11 of the top 14 players from last year, including, you know, guys like Yaya Black, Jay Higgins, Nick Jackson, the linebackers. In total, they've got 8 senior starters on the defense. So you know this defense is still going to be great. The difference is, can they turn around the offense? Kirk Ferentz, going into his 26th year at Iowa, he will pass 200 wins this year in Iowa. He's at 196. He had a fire his son, Brian, and they bring in the ex-Western Michigan coach, Tim Lester, to run the offense. You know, quarterback, they went with Cade McNamara last year. He had transferred in from Michigan the year before. He struggled early, then got hurt, and they just never had good quarterback play the rest of the year. If he's healthy and is able to go back to where he was at Michigan, at least it gives him, at the floor, a competent quarterback, which would be a huge improvement over what they did last year. They also have Brandon Sullivan transferring in from Northwestern, more of a dual threat type guy, not a big arm, not going to throw the ball down the field that much. They're going to rely on the running game. LeSean Williams, Caleb Johnson, and Jason Patterson, because they're wide receivers. They're returning nobody who caught more than 11 catches last year. So they're going to need some help there on at wide receiver. They do have some tight ends there. Addison Ostrenga and Luke Lachey are excellent tight ends. So, you know, they're going to run ball control, run the ball down your throat, hope McNamara can make enough good plays, and the defense wins them the games. And you look at, you want to talk about schedule makers giving them a benefit of the doubt. They play one game against a team that's currently ranked in the preseason. They're at Ohio State October 2nd. So if they take care of business, you know, don't be surprised if you look up at the end of the year and there's Iowa sitting there somewhere in the top four of the Big Ten just because they don't play anybody. You know, this is a team that could lose two Big Ten games and all of a sudden they're sitting there in fourth place and you're looking going, how is Iowa up there? That's how. Darren, any other dark horses you have?
Well, the USC Trojans, okay, in the Big Ten. It freaks me out just saying it, actually. I get a little jumpy. It's surreal. And again, like I said in the beginning, they play Rutgers. The game will be played 11 p.m. Eastern time, and they're 2,700 miles apart. But this is what they dreamed of when they put the Big 18 together. I think, let's be honest, I think it's safe to say that the fan base expected more out of the Caleb Williams-Lincoln Riley combo than they got, okay? Lincoln better start winning, or he's not going to be there much longer because USC is not expected to be an 8-5 type of squad like they were last year. For USC, it all starts with Miller Moss at quarterback. I mean, replacing Caleb Williams is never easy, but I always think back to when T. Martin replaced Peyton Manning and won the championship his first year. So anything's possible. And you know, basically Miller Moss threw for 372 and six touchdowns in his bowl game over a pretty good Louisville defense. So he not like he looks bad. And they have a kid that they took a transfer out of Nevada named Jaden Maiva, who's highly touted sophomore, and he could fight for some playing time there as well. The wide receiver corps returns Zachariah Branch, and they bring back a very good tight end in Lake McCree. They get Mississippi State transfer running back Woody Marks, and they also get sophomore Quentin Joyner back. The O-line returns two starters and has some really good talent across the board. So offensively, this team shouldn't go backwards that much. I mean, Caleb is Caleb, but this team should still be really, really good. Defense has been the problem in La La Land, okay? That's really where USC fell apart last year. So enter DeAnthony Lynn, who comes over from UCLA, comes over from Westwood, and where he took a UCLA defense that was lower middle and got them to the top 16 last year in all of college football. And his job is to rebuild this shaky defense. And there's some talent there, okay? They return Jameel Muhammad on the outside, and they have two big-time tackles in Bear Alexander and Elijah Hughes. This should be the defensive strength should be up front. The secondary is young and talented with a hybrid linebacker, Easton Arnold, who's kind of coming in from Oregon State, and he should really improve the talent pool. The team should be better defensively overall, but the fact of the matter is if they don't force turnovers, they won't get anywhere. This team did not force turnovers last year, and that's why they struggled. The schedule is not – it starts out a little shaky, and ends up a little easier, and I'll tell you why. They play a neutral site game with LSU in Vegas to start it off. They have to go to Michigan. They have to go to Washington, which is a place that they've struggled. They've lost 3 out of 4 to Washington, okay? They get Wisconsin, Penn State, and Notre Dame all at home. Okay, the problem that the good part of their problem is that the last 5 games that they play are all in the West Coast time zone. So even when they go to Washington, it's on the West Coast. They host Notre Dame down the stretch. They don't leave for anywhere, and they play UCLA. So they don't really have to go and travel after late October. To me, their big game is going to be at Washington. If they can win that game on 11-2 and get that road win that they need, they could be sitting there fighting for a shot to play in the Big Ten championship game. It's going to come down to that. Their offense is going to be there. If they can force turnovers, if Lincoln can do a good job getting this thing going, USC is a sleeper to look out for because they have that much kind of talent on the offensive side of the ball. G, who's one of those teams in the middle that you think might jump up on us?
No, you just mentioned them. It's Washington. Last year, 14-1, they beat Texas in the Sugar Bowl, lost in the finals to Michigan. So they're coming off a disappointing kind of year at the end of the day, although nothing to shake a stick at 14-1. Kellen DeBoer left So he's gone. Head coach, new head coach, and Jeff Fish takes over. He brings in an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. Interesting names. Offensive coordinator, Brennan Carroll. That's right, son of Pete Carroll. Defensive coordinator, Steve Belichick. That's right, son of Bill Belichick. This team lost about 30 guys in the transfer protocol. They got slaughtered, but they also lost 10 guys to the NFL, and that's where the big losses come. It's Michael Penix Jr. It's Rome Odunze. It's Troy Fontenot. They lost a lot of players. They got to rebuild, and that's the big thing. You know, they brought back some good defensive players here, but the key to this team is to keep this defense steady and rebuild this offense. And what they did was they brought these guys in from all over the place in the transfer protocol. So you got a new quarterback coming in from Mississippi State in Will Rogers. You got a new running back coming in from Arizona and Joan Coleman. You got a new wide receiver coming in from Cal and Jeremiah Hunter. You take that, they got 16 recruits, and that's what they're going to hang their hat on, try to rebuild this offense and actually make something in the Big Ten now. Their big game, it's going to be Michigan October 5th. That, to me, is the game where they're going to show if they're actually for real in this conference or not. I think based on all the rebuilding, new coach, new offensive coordinator, new deep, you probably got a little rebuild on your hands, but they're gonna go all guns a-blazing to try to make some impact in this conference right now. Kev, what do you like next?
I think it's really going to be Wisconsin. You know, the old Big Ten stalwart. Last year, Luke Fickell's first year, they went 7-6. You know, Fickell's trying to bring a little different offense to Wisconsin. Wisconsin was always, you know, big guys up front, big running back, 3 or 4 yards, cloud of dust type of offense. And last year, they tried to expand that out a little bit. They brought in 11 four-star recruits, 11 three-star recruits, so they had a great recruiting class that way, brought in some more depth, brought in some more young players. The defense, which was pretty good last year, returns cornerbacks like Ricardo Holman and Niger Forquarin. The linebackers are still solid with Darrell Peterson and Jake Chaney. They bring in some more help in the secondary, R.J. Delaney from Toledo, John Pius from William & Mary. Smaller schools, but I think these guys are going to fit in the Big Ten and help out in that defense. The big change is going to be on their offense. They will have a new quarterback. They're either going to go with, or I think he's in that name, the starter, Tyler Van Dyke, the transfer in from Miami. They also have, you know, a little more untested. He's a sophomore this year. They've got Braden Locke in case, you know, Van Dyke doesn't work out for them. But I think that's going to help. They've got the returning wide receivers with Will Pauling and Bryson Green. The running backs, you know, still got to have running backs at Wisconsin. You've got Jackson Acker and Ches Malusi. So, you know, real solid there in the backfield as well. I think they're going to be a good Wisconsin team. The problem is they've got some real tough games. Non-conference, maybe one of the best non-conference games in the Big Ten. They host on September 14th, Alabama. So that's going to be one of the best non-conference games of anybody the Big Ten plays. They've got road games at USC, at Iowa. They've got Penn State at home, Oregon at home. You know, you look at those five games there. You know, they're going to be favored to lose all five. Then all of a sudden, they're going to be sitting there going, you know, at best, you know, they're going to be 6-6, 7-5, but possibly with some real good upside and with some talented players really starting to shine through here, and they're going to challenge at least for the bowl game, and that's what their level is going to be. They're not going to challenge for the Big Ten title. They're not that talented yet. I think Fickell needs another year to really build in and bring more of the talent in there, but Wisconsin's going to be real close, and I think they're building towards 2025. Darren, anybody you like?
A middle team that I think can rise up and get bowling again is the Minnesota Golden Gophers. P.J. Fleck has done a really good job at Minnesota. In fact, he had 2 9-win seasons in a row, and then last year they kind of went backwards. They fell to 6-7, and yes, they did get a bowl game at 5-7 and won it. You know, you don't normally get a bowl game when you're 5-7, but Minnesota did, and they took advantage of it. The way Minnesota plays is simple. They rely on a good O-line, good running game, defense playing pretty well, the secondary being really good, but this year they're going to try to do that with a little bit of a twist. entered New Hampshire transfer quarterback Max Brosmer. Brosmer had a strong career in New Hampshire. Let's see how it relates to the Big Ten or the Big 18, whatever we want to call it. He just needs to do enough to allow the team to run the ball effectively and utilize the outside weapons when he can. It's that simple. And like we said, running back's always a strength. Darius Taylor's back. He's young, he's strong, and it's a good deep running back room. So he's going to be the leader, but they have three or four guys they can go to. They lost their top four wide receivers from a year ago. But despite the youth, they seem to be pretty high on the young receivers they have in Minnesota's wide receiver locker room. So they're excited about that. They have an elite left tackle in Arontae Ursary and an all-conference guard in Quinn Carroll. So the old line's going to be pretty solid. They will be good. They're going to need to get something out of Brosmer in order to make themselves, above 500 and really competing. This is not a team that's going to win the Big Ten. This is not a team that may ever win the Big Ten. It's just never going to be that kind of squad. But this is a team that is going to be one of those teams that you don't always want to play. On the defensive side of the ball, the strength should be the pass rush. Ja Joyner and Danny Strigo come back. They had 13.5 to combine sacks last year. They should be even better this year. The one problem they had last year a little bit was a D tackle, and they need to stop the run a little bit better. Linebacker should be even better as Cody Lindenberg comes back from an injury. And the secondary is always good at Minnesota. They really are. This year should be no different. Justin Wally and Jack Henderson are studs back there. They're really good. The schedule maker said, hey, we like you a little bit. No Ohio State, no Oregon, no Washington this year. But they do have to go to Michigan. They do have to go to Wisconsin. And they have home games. A non-conference home game against North Carolina is not an easy one. They get Iowa at home for the Florida Rosedale. They get USC at home, and they get Penn State at home. And to me, their crucial game is the Florida Rosedale game on September 21st, because Minnesota and Iowa are going to be in that same vein. Iowa might be a little bit more talented, but this game is in Minnesota. If they want to keep that trophy, they want to keep the pig, they're going to have to win that game, and it's going to give them an opportunity to keep moving forward. So I think that Minnesota is a team that could be a 7-1 team this year. If everything goes right, maybe they break to 8. That's about as high as they'll get, but I think they can go bowling. G, who's another team you have an eye on in the middle?
Maryland. This is Michael Locksley going into his sixth season as head coach. Last year, they were 8-5. They beat Auburn in the Music City Bowl. It's his third straight bowl victory. For a team that's kind of middle of the road most of the time in this conference with these big teams, he's got three straight bowl wins. He returns quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. Big problem for them is going to be replacing the offensive line. They lost players in the transfer protocol. They had to bring in eight transfer protocol guys and 24 recruits. They're rebuilding the entire offensive line on this team. Big guy from Georgia they brought in was Alu Ba. And we're going to see how well he actually comes in and plays with this squad. I look for them to be pretty good. They're going to be middle of the road again. Another 8-5 year, make it to a bowl. That's probably what they're looking at again. Big game for them on their schedule is going to be Northwestern on October 12th. That's a big game for them because they need that victory. Kev?
The team that I feel like I'm going to repeat a lot of what I said about Wisconsin is Nebraska. Another second-year coach, Matt Rhule. He went 5-7 last year in his first year. That makes 7 straight losing seasons for Nebraska. Far cry from when Tom Osborne was running this program. This year, it's really going to be about their 5-star recruit, Dylan Raiola.
They named him the starter today.
They certainly did. He is going to start for them. They've got some talent. The wide receivers, they've got a couple of exciting sophomores, Malachi Coleman and Jalen Lloyd. They returned the left guard, Justin Evans. Tight end, Thomas Fedone II. There are some pieces there on offense. The defense was solid. They're returning the cornerback, Tommy Hill, who's probably the best guy there. They have their defensive end, Jamari Butler, outside linebacker, Javon Wright, their safety, Isaac Gifford. So there is talent on this team. The question is going to be, does Dylan Raiola lead them to, can he prove that he can play in the Big Ten? He was a 5-star for a reason. He was number one quarterback prospect for a reason. Matt Rhule was able to get him. The first 7 weeks, the schedule is not that hard. But boy, if they're not 6-1, the end of that the end of their season just gets impossible. They are at Ohio State, home for UCLA, at USC, home for Wisconsin, at Iowa. I mean, that's just a brutal, brutal stretch there. I mean, you're really looking at it. You've got to win the Wisconsin game at home. And, you know, can they pull off an upset? Probably at Iowa is probably their best chance for another upset there. If they're able to get those two wins and sit there with, you know, 6 of the first 7, which are very winnable games, you know, all of a sudden, if Matt Rhule is sitting there at 8-4 in his second year here, that's a great year for Nebraska. I think they're probably going to be about that 7-5 record, good enough for the bowl game. 8-4, like I said, a terrific year for them. But if they, but if Dylan Raiola proves himself to be the quarterback, they're setting themselves up for a big run in the future here. Darren, anybody else you like?
You know, I'm going to name a team right now that's going to sound very similar to the last team I talked about also. Rutgers is very similar to the way Minnesota plays. And the one thing about Raiola, by the way, he spurned Ohio State and Georgia to go to Nebraska. I mean, that's a big-time get for a Rule. But when you look at Rutgers, Greg Schiano has built this team up pretty quickly. They were good before he left for the NFL, and then they fell apart when he left. And then he had to bring him back, and now he's got them playing hard. But the thing to remember is they've never had a winning Big Ten record in their 11 seasons in the conference. So no matter how good he may be doing, they still haven't gotten over the hump. But they're an annoying team to play. Nobody likes to play this team. They're physical. They're nasty. They're tough. You know, so people don't necessarily enjoy it. But the one thing about Schiano is he's getting better recruits. He's getting solid transfers. New Jersey's always been a hotbed, and he's doing pretty well recruiting out of there. But, you know, what they have to do is really kind of like Minnesota's. They have to rely on the running game. The running game is going to be what gets them home. Kyle Monongai and Samuel Brown are the workhorse backs. All right. These guys are back and they're good. Their quarterback is going to be the question mark. All right. They bring in an upgrade from Minnesota, who did not have a great year, and Ethan Calaigmanis. Okay. So if Calaigmanis, who was a big-time recruit at Minnesota, can regain his form from his freshman year, this team could be pretty decent. He's got the ability to use his legs, and he's got a strong arm. He's a lefty, you know, so if you see him throwing it and it looks awkward, that's why. But he just wasn't as good last year. They just need him to be a little bit better. The wide receiver room actually becomes a strength on this team, which it hasn't been over the past few years. Christian Dremel is back, and he returns with Ian Strong, and they get a transfer out of Monmouth named Dymir Miller, who's just lightning quick. And it could be a difference maker for them. The O-line was the best O-line in the conference last year in sacks allowed, and they had the fewest negative plays allowed. And they returned 4 starters from that team. So the O-line's still going to be good here. Tackle Hollis Pierce and center Gus Olinskas anchor a good group, so they're going to be fine. What Rutgers did really well, though, was play defense. They were 16th in the nation last year overall in total D. And the front four is really where it started, led by Wesley Bailey and Aaron Lewis, and they should wreak havoc up there. Secondary is led by safeties Flip Dixon and Desmond Igbinison, who are excellent, and cornerback Robert Longerbeam, easy for me to say, broke up 10 passes last year. The linebackers lose their leading tackler, but they returned the very talented Mohamed Touré to lead that group. The big loss for them was their quarterback. They lost Gavin Winsett, who went over to Kentucky. So they replaced Winsett with Calaigmanis. Neither one had a great year last year. They're hoping that they see an upgrade. Calaigmanis is young. He can run, he can throw, and it's what's going to come all down to, because Rutgers is going to play good defense. They're going to run the ball. They're going to be physical. Now it's going to come down to if they can just convert a little bit more in the red zone and get some more touchdowns. Schedule makers pretty good to these guys. They start off with a pretty light schedule. Then they have Votek on the road as a non-conference, which is one that would be really kind of nice for them to get. They have to also visit USC, and the other tough road game is Michigan State. Okay, the home games are Washington and Wisconsin. So those are the two that they have to get if they're going to do anything. They really skip a lot of the teams, which is wild. Wisconsin's their big game. If they can win that game on 10-12, that would go a long way for this Rutgers team. Again, it's at home. Let's see what happens. Gino, where are we going here? As we get near the bottom of the conference, who's a team you kind of like a little bit?
Michigan State. Listen, this is not a big team right now. They're coming off a very disappointing 4-8 year. New head coach Jonathan Smith takes over. They lost 38 players in the transfer protocol. They lost 4 players to the NFL draft. But But listen, they're returning quarterback Aiden Childs from Oregon State. They brought him in. They're returning wide receiver Montefiore Foster, and they brought in four-star recruit who's big and physical, Nick Marsh, who I guess they're kind of depending on this offense to take them and lead them a little bit right now while they rebuild everything else. They did bring in 21 guys from the transfer protocol, so they had losses. They tried to recoup them, tried to have a decent recruiting class, but it wasn't that big. Listen, this team's probably 5-6 wins. You know, a key game for them is going to be coming up right away, Maryland, September 7th, because if they can somehow eke out a victory against Maryland, they're going to feel good. They're going to think they can get maybe to 7. But I think this is a long road ahead for them. We'll see what happens with this team. Kev, who do you got next?
Yeah, I think we're looking at the final in the line eye. Brett Bielema's squad there going into his fourth year. He's 18-19. You know, this is a 500 team, it looks like, on paper. They're a very young team. You know, the defense is going to be the strength of the team. It was last year. It still will be. They return some of the key players, their linebacker Dylan Rozek, safety Miles Scott, nickel Xavier Scott, cornerback Tyler Strain, and then they bring in a couple of big-time transfers from Texas. You've got Terrence Brooks, and from Ohio, you've got Torrey Cox Jr. to just strengthen that defense. I think the defense is going to have to carry the team there. On the offensive side of the ball, lots of sophomores and juniors. The quarterback, he's a dual threat, Luke Altmaier. You know, he played nice last year. You know, the question is, can he make the next step up? You know, he's a sophomore. You're looking at him, you know, making that leap up, you know, try to challenge and, you know, try to put himself in the upper half of quarterback play in the Big Ten. They return Caden Fagan at running back. Their wide receivers, you know, that's where they're a little short. Pat Bryant is the only returner who had more than 9 catches last year coming back. They did bring in Zachary Franklin from Ole Miss. He's going to be the number 2 receiver, obviously, because they just have nobody else there. This is a team that early on in the season, they're going to have a bit of a gauntlet here. Non-conference, they do play Kansas at home, but that's still going to be a tough matchup. First half of their Big Ten schedule, they're at Penn State late September. At Michigan, I'm home for Michigan and at Oregon back-to-back weeks, the 19th and the 26th of October. If they're not down, if they're not, you know, just out of it after that stretch there, you know, if they can, you know, somehow be, you know, somewhere in that 2-4 type of range, their last 4 games are winnable at the end of the year. They can make a late run, get to that 7-5 record, and make a bowl game. I think they're going to come up a little bit short. But, you know, again, the building blocks are there. If the young guys can improve during the year and, like I said, finish strong, they've got a real good chance of making one of these bowl games. Darren, I know we're getting down near the bottom.
Yep. I got 2 left. One, I think, could be a little bit of a sleeper, I guess. But, you know, my UCLA Bruins are in the Big Ten again. Again, crazy. Don't belong here. Head coach Chip Kelly leaves to be an OC at Ohio State, and they're bringing DeShaun Foster, former Bruin, had a stellar career for the blue and gold, and he brings in Eric Bieniemy to be the offensive coordinator. So now you feel like a man that a lot of people think should be an NFL head coach is going to run the offense, and this team might have a real shot of being never out-coached on the offensive side of the ball, which is nice. They bring back Ethan Garber as a quarterback, okay? Garber runs well, throws well on the run, and doesn't turn it over. He just needs to be better in the red zone. This team was awful in the red zone last year, and there's multiple reasons for that. We'll get into it. The receivers are really good. There's no star, but they have some really solid guys. Sturdivant's back, leading receiver. Logan Lawyer back. Transfer Rico Flores is going to be solid. Good tight end, and Malachi Montevallo. So this team is going to have weapons to throw to. The running back game is in good hands with return of T.J. Harden and Keenan Jones. This was the number 1 rushing team in the Pac-12 last year. So they're still going to be in good shape. And 4 of the 5 starters are back on the offensive line. And the line was good last year. So there's a lot of things to like about the offense here. Just that they're stepping up and play a little bit, which makes it a little bit harder. On defense, they're not going to be able to replace Laiatu Latu and Gabriel Murphy. They had 21 sacks combined. There's nobody in that pipeline that shows you that they're going to be able to help get 10 sacks, 8 sacks, whatever. So they're going to have to do it by committee a little bit. They should be really good in the interior. Gary Smith and Jay Toya are really solid inside. They just don't have the pass rusher outside. The linebacker corps are excellent on this team. Ken Medrano is the leader of this team, but they have Musau and Oladejo also out there. They're all fast. They hit. They play really hard. They're going to be solid. The corners are set. They're really good, and the safeties are all high-end transfers. So they got transfer from Georgia, transfer from Notre Dame. They brought in some big guys that really helped on the back end, but they just need to get a pass rush. They need to get better penetration. Kicking for this team was awful last year. They were 8-for-17 on field goals, and that's why they struggled so much in the red zone. They just couldn't put up points. Enter Cal transfer Mateen Bagani, who was 8-for-9 last year. So this team went 8-for-17 as a team. This kid went 8-for-9. So let's see what happens. The thing about UCLA is they have a couple of different parts of the schedule that are rough. They play at a conference at LSU on September 21st. Then they come home for Oregon on the 28th and head back to Penn State on the 5th. So that's a three-game stretch of teams that are all ranked in the top 13 preseason. And after, like, not really a break, you get Minnesota at home, at Rutgers, at Nebraska. Then they get three in a row against a ranked Iowa team at home. They go to Washington, and then they host USC at the end of the season. So they're going to have not an easy, easy schedule. The big game for this team is probably Minnesota to me on the 12th, because that's one of those games that they have to be able to rebound. They can't let the season fall apart after that rough three-game stretch when they go up against LSU, Oregon, and Penn State. They have to find a way to rebound, find a way to get back to 3-3 at that point, hopefully, and then they have a shot of getting into a bowl game. If they start to, you know, spiral out of control, this team could really struggle. But they have a shot of getting to that 6-6 mark and getting into a bowl. And that's what I see from the UCLA Bruins. Gino, you have one team left. Who's it going to be? Who's the team that you think has a shot to be exciting this year?
Well, it's not this team. This is the Purdue Boilermakers. Unfortunately, this team coming off a 4-8 disappointing year. Ryan Walters is entering his second year. I think this is more of the same. They lost 29 guys in the transfer protocol. The big one they lost is Nick Scarron, in the defensive end to Texas A&M. He takes his 10 sacks out of this team, goes to Texas A&M. This is a big-time prospect. I think we may be hearing about this guy, by the way. This guy's a beautiful, beautiful prospect. I mean, this guy could be in the draft next year. They need this offense to be better. There's no way around it. Senior Hudson Card at quarterback. They need to get this kid some playmakers. They brought in 27 recruits. They brought in 18 guys in the transfer protocol, but more of the same for this team, probably 4 or 5 wins. Big game, if you want to call it that, is Nebraska, September 28th. Don't look like they're going to have much of a chance in this one, but they'll probably go out there. They'll give it. I think this team is probably in the 4 or 5 win category. Kev, your last team?
Yeah, unfortunately, this team's going to take a step back from last year. Northwestern, last year, great story. You know, this is a team that was 1-11 the year before that. Then you had all the scandal with Pat Fitzgerald, the hazing, everything else that went on, and David Braun took over, and they went 8-5, including 5-4 in the Big Ten, despite being outscored for the season. They had a winning record. They won all the close games. I just don't see them winning the close games this year like they did last year. Their defense is still solid. They returned 14 of their top 19 guys in terms of playing time. Their leading tackle for loss guy, Xander Miller's back. Their sacks leader, Aiden Hubbard, still back. The question's going to be on offense. They bring in Zach Lugent from South Dakota State to be their offensive coordinator. They've got some talent at the skill positions. Cam Porter and Joseph Hyman II at running back. Bryce Kurtz at wide receiver. These are all real good, solid players. But I think the quarterback is going to hold them back this year. They've got Ryan Helinski back. He's got a 57% completion rate in his career. So they bring in a transfer from Mississippi State, Mike Wright, who was all the way down to 56%. So they really don't have much in the way of quarterbacking to me. They also have Jack Lausch, who's a sophomore, but hasn't really had a chance to play much this year. You know, early the season, you know, they've got some winnable games maybe early, but once you hit late October, they're on the road at Iowa. And then in November, they go back-to-back weeks. They're home for Ohio State and at Michigan. So the schedule maker does know them, those favors there. I think this is a year that Northwestern's going to struggle. I see them regressing back to four wins at a ceiling this year. I think they're going to be, if not at the rear, going to be right near at the mono of the Big Ten this year. And Darren, do you have anybody able to beat out Northwestern?
Well, the only team that I have left that I wanted to touch on was Indiana. And they're an interesting squad this year. This year is all about Kurt Cignetti for the Crimson and Cream. Really, who it comes down to is the James Madison head coach, and he went 119-35 so far as a head coach. So he has done well, comes up to Bloomington and tries to get the Hoosiers football program rolling. This is a team that has one outright Big Ten title in their history. It was 1945. This is a university that last shared for the title in 1967. So it's been a long time. They also only have three winning seasons in the last 30 years. So there's a lot of things with Indiana that make you nervous. But the reality is for this team, it all starts off with Ohio transfer quarterback Curtis Rourke. He's going to come in. He had a great career in Athens, and they're hoping that the Hoosier faithful hopes he can bring it to Bloomington. This team is chock full of transfers. They have 31 transfers coming in, and more than half of them are coming from James Madison. So now we have the question mark of, was James Madison, who had an amazing year last year, are these players able to play week in and week out against the competition they're going to face in the Big Ten, or are they not? Or were they just able to step up in an occasional big game here or there? So we're going to see the recruiting talent, if those players are Big Ten caliber players. That's what we're going to find out. Like I said, they have double-digit transfers from the Dukes, but they do have some talent on the O-line and the wide receiver core to start. They have a big-time center in Mike Kadich and a big-time tackle in Carter Smith that should help the O-line. They brought in two guards, of course, from James Madison, and they brought in a tackle transfer from Wisconsin and Jay Wettig. So they're hoping that'll get the job done. The running backs are also both transfers, okay? They got Ellison coming in from Wake, and they have Kalon Black from James Madison, of course. The wide receiver tandems are young and mostly transfers, so we don't know enough about them to see how good they're going to be. But Curtis Rourke should be able to throw the ball around the yard. On the defense, it's more of the same. Five starters are going to be JMU transfers, okay? They return Linnell Carr to help anchor the linebacker's position, which should really help. He's a good player. And the thing about Cignetti's teams, they always had really strong defenses. And I believe his staff will get this Hoosier team on track defensively quickly. You know, they lost Phillip Dunham, who's probably their best defensive player last year, the cornerback to Florida Atlantic. He left. So this is a team that a lot of transfers. Rourke's the big guy, but a lot of James Madison guys. And we're going to see how quick Cignetti can get this team up, running, and rolling. Schedule maker for Indiana, you know, they have to go to Ohio State. They get Michigan. They have to go to Michigan State. They weren't really nice to them. They got to go to UCLA, which is not brutal, but it's at the same time, it's still traveling across country. And I think that's their biggest game, because what happens for this team to start off, they start off at home with FIU, then they get Western Illinois at home. If they could beat UCLA on the road, they would start off 3-0 coming home for a Charlotte game. This team could come out 4-0 if they get that win. If that works out and then Maryland comes into their place, this team could actually get off to a really solid start before they play that tough schedule and maybe find their way to sneak into a bowl. That's best case scenario for Indiana and Kurt Cignetti. This is going to be an exciting Big Ten season, guys. Indiana may not be a big part of the top of it, but I think that's a growing program, and we'll see what we get. You guys have any other comments on the Big Ten before we wrap it up? All right, listen. Fact of the matter is, between us, we think that there's four real premier teams and maybe two or three others that can fight and get themselves in competition to maybe get a sniff of the playoff at some point in the very beginning. Probably not going to get there. I don't think they'll get more than three or four teams in the playoff, but USC and Iowa, Wisconsin, these teams could all find their way to looking pretty good if they rise to their levels. And we're hoping for an exciting Big Ten. We hope you enjoyed the preview. We are the Sports Kings from Queens, talking about college football tonight, talking about how we think that Ohio State might be the best team in this conference, but Michigan's a defending champ. Oregon's new coming in, and Penn State, something's got to give. Download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be Apple product, TuneIn, Spotify, whatever you like. We're going to share a lot of this stuff on social media throughout the college football season. Please like it, share it, comment, tell us what you want to hear more about. And without any further ado, May your sports be with you.